I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, and called to the stand of God's saving grace. Blood was presented that covered my sin.
Forgiven when mercy walked in.
I stood there in wonder, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment when mercy walked in.
When mercy walked in and pleaded my case, and called to the stand of God's saving grace.
The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven
when mercy walked in.
I stood there in wonder, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment when mercy walked in.
When mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand of God's saving. Forgiven when mercy walked in. When mercy walked in and pleaded my case, and called to the stand of God's saving grace.
The blood was presented that covered my sin.
Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked
I just like to thank the Lord for His mercy. I'm so thankful that He had mercy on me one day. I was guilty. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful that my children are serving the Lord. I know it's just a blessing. It's just the mercy of the Lord. And I'm so thankful. And I thought... You know, it's easy to take that for granted. But I was raised in a Christian home, just like Joel and Hannah was raised. But I didn't live it there for a long time. And I'm so glad for my parents' prayers. And I'd just like to say to the ones here that have lost children and loved ones, don't give up. I was raised by my grandparents, and my daddy said that he thought I would have been the last one of his children to ever pray. Just because, I guess, he's seen the life that I was living, the road I was heading down. But I was one of the first. I have an aunt that she's, you know, my sister by adoption, but she was the only one that I know of his children that got saved. I have some, they're just living a deceitful life, you know, claiming to have something, and they're not living by what the Bible says, not by my judgment, but what God says. But I thought, I'm so thankful that the Lord dealt with me. He dealt with me maybe in a way that he didn't have to deal with other people. But he dealt with me in a different way. And I went to a doctor. My parents took me to a doctor. They thought something was wrong with me. And you'd have thought, with me being raised in a Christian home, I would have knew what conviction was. But the devil deceived me. You know, he made me think, I guess, that it's something. Because I don't remember thinking, okay, I'm under conviction. I just was having nerve problems and just, you know, just times that I just, like, go to a red light and stop. I'd be driving. And I felt like I was just going to have to get out and jump, run, do something. My nerves were so bad before that light would turn green. Well, I didn't realize it, but the Lord was dealing with my heart. And I thought I went to church on Mother's Day just because it was Mother's Day, and I had plans after that. But I thought I went. I started having feeling bad, you know, some of my nerves, but whatever. And I went outside. I thought, I'll just go outside and get to feeling a little bit better, and then I'll come back in. Well, I come back in, and best I remember, I probably got worse. And I just happened to be at a church where some people had known me all my life. The pastor did. And so he didn't mind if I come to the altar. He didn't mind saying, God save her. You know, he didn't care. And so I got to feeling, you know, that feeling again. And I thought, well, I'll just get prayer and I'll feel better. And so I don't know if I asked my parents to ask them if I could have prayer. But I thought, when I come to that altar, they knew what I needed. God knew what I needed. And I'm so thankful that I gave my heart to the Lord. I said that was the best Mother's Day gift I could have ever gave my mama, was giving my heart to the Lord. And I'm so thankful. Mama had had a stroke. And so, you know, we wasn't sure at times, I guess, maybe what she understood. But I know she knew that I got saved. I know she did. And I'm so thankful that I can still say that I'm saved. I can't say it's been a bed of roses. There's been times that I needed God to help me along the way, decisions. There's been times I felt like, how can I go on? You know, how can I make it? This burden is so heavy. But I thought there was a little fire in there, like the song says, about the fire that started burning and it's never gone out. There was that little hope in there, you know, that little encouragement. And I'm so thankful that I can still say that I'm saved. And I thought the Lord's been answering prayer for Hannah. She felt like starting a prayer meeting where just some of the young girls meet on Monday or Tuesday night. And they meet and they pray. And she talks like they've really had church there. The Holy Ghost has moved and come by. And I thought there was times that it was hard for me to encourage Hannah about her God opening a door for her job, because I was discouraged. It's like, Lord, we have prayed and prayed. Why? Why? But it's in His time. It's in His time. And I thought He opened a door for her. One of It's actually her best friend's mother was headed out of a doctor's office one day, and the mom said, "Do you know anybody that could stay with my 11-year-old daughter during the summer?" Well, Sandra went to school with her, so she knew her. And so Hannah, she told Hannah about it, and she started staying with the little girl. And the mom told her, said, "If you find, you know, another job, something that you'd rather do, hey, you can just quit." And she called her while we was in youth camp or texted her one and said, "You don't have to be in till a certain time. Hope y'all are having a good service." So, you know, they've been so good to her. And then the Lord's opened a door. She wants to be a pediatric dental assistant, work with children in the dentist office. I don't know why. I mean, I love children, but I don't really want to do that. But anyway, she does. And she's had that desire since she was in high school. And now the Lord's opened a door for her to internship, which normally I don't think, Nicole, you do that unless you're in school. Well, she's not in school. She's out of school now. She's already finished her college. And they are letting her, it's just every other Friday, but the doctor told her there might be some other days that would open up for her. And I just like to thank the Lord. He's answered prayer. He's helped. And, you know, I firmly believe it's because a little girl decided that she was going to have a prayer meeting for her friends. And she has a pretty good turnout just about every week. And I'm so, so thankful that she has a desire to do that. You know, we have young people nowadays that don't even want to go to church. And I count that as a blessing. I'm so thankful. I didn't mean to go on and on, but the Lord's just been good, and I want to give him the praise. Pray for us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Joel, you want to say a word for the Lord? Lord, I do appreciate my family, appreciate my wife, my children. I'm blessed. I just pray they'll stay in there. Stay on the firing line. Amen. I want to read tonight the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. Some of those young ladies that Lynn's talking about, we have our area will have youth services. There's probably half a dozen churches in our area that comes together once a month, the first Friday of every month normally. We'll have youth services. A lot of times it's those young ladies that get in there praying and the Holy Ghost moving on them. They'll get to shouting around the altars and the Holy Ghost working through them. And like Lynn was talking about, they've been praying. They've been meeting and praying. And like Lynn said, I believe it's just an answer to prayer what the Lord has done for Hannah. I know it was a trial for her. She went over a year, you know, after she'd finished up her core subjects there in college, and she, you know, she's not real academically inclined, you know, like some of us are, I guess, and she just wanted to, you know, get onto the job market, and over a year, nothing opened up for her, but I feel like the Lord is working. Praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 13 down through the last verse, the 20th verse of the chapter. Hebrews 6, verse 13. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. We desire your prayers. The Lord would anoint us. Let his word just have free course here among us. And you, everyone, pray with us as Brother Christy leads us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we come once again, Lord, to the throne of grace and ask God for your mercy and ask that you would help us. Hear the service tonight, Lord. We're a needy people. We need your touch. We need, Lord, your strength, your anointing, and just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, encourage us and help us, Lord, to have the go ye and to, Lord, have that desire within us to press on. And Lord, to receive at your hand, Lord, and tonight, Lord, that we might receive what you have for us here in this service. And just pray the Lord that we'll be hungry and thirsty, Lord, for the righteousness of God. And pray, Lord, that you'd work in us. Speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, pray that you would bless, Lord, especially your servant tonight. In Jesus' name, as he brings forth the bread. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. As we've mentioned several times in this meeting, you know, when the Holy Ghost moves and you get in the presence of the Lord, you just feel like God can do anything. I mean, and he can. That's not a falsehood. That's not believing something that's not so. That's just the Holy Ghost impressing upon our hearts the reality of the power of God. And I felt that way in this meeting this week, these last few days that we've been gathered together. Amen. You know, especially, I guess, that first night, and then again last night, I just felt that in a special way. Amen. Just have that feeling. God can do anything. God can do anything. Praise the Lord. Well, here the scripture said, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. You know the way men do it in a court of law. I was called upon here a while back to sit on the grand jury. Now, the grand jury, I wasn't aware of this, but I was educated, you know, as far as the judicial process. The grand jury just decides whether it's a true bill or a no bill, whether or not the case is legitimate. So we had several officers that would come in, and each one of them would be asked to raise their right hand to swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help them God. They swore by the greater. But here, because God could swear by none any greater, he swear by himself. Amen. That in blessing he would bless, multiplying, he would multiply the seed of Abraham. But the Bible said in verse number 18 and 19, he said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Well, I want to talk to us tonight about that hope. About that hope. That hope as an anchor of the soul. Hope, the soul's anchor. That's what I want to talk to us about tonight. Hope, the soul's anchor. Now, I believe the writer of Hebrews here, he uses two analogies to describe this hope. First of all, he describes this hope. He said it's like a refuge. No doubt, I believe he had in mind those Old Testament cities of refuge. That when a man, he had maybe took another man's life by accident, that he could go, he could flee to a city of refuge. One of those cities in the Old Testament, those cities of refuge. It's brought out so vividly in the account of Abner. You know, he had went to the city of Hebron. He was being pursued by Joab. Joab was the avenger of blood because Abner had taken the life of Joab's brother Asahel. And he caught him outside the city of Hebron, which was one of those cities of refuge, you remember. And he took Abner's life. He slew him right within the gates of the city of refuge, the city of Hebron. Well, I tell you, the Bible, no doubt here, the writer has in mind the fact that you and I, as the children of God, we are being pursued by unearthly enemies. If you will, the hounds of hell are nipping at our heels. But he said we have a hope, even as a refuge. We fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope. This hope is like a refuge, a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of shelter, amen, from those unearthly enemies that are pursuing us. Well, there's another analogy that the writer of Hebrews brings out in this scripture. He has in mind, no doubt, just like that ship that's out on a storm-tossed sea. Out there, and the waves are contrary. The waves are dashing high. The wind is howling and blowing against that ship. It's in the midst of a storm-tossed sea. But he said we've got a hope as an anchor for the soul. Now notice the way he describes this anchor. It's not an anchor like a cement block or a piece of iron that a sailor would throw over a ship to sink down into the water. It's not a weight that we would drag around, but it's an anchor that we anchor to. Amen. And he talks about this hope as an anchor for the soul. Amen. Not an anchor that's thrown over into the water, but an anchor that we anchor our vessel to. Amen. Said, whether the forerunner is for us entered into heaven itself, Christ entered there, we are anchored to the rock of ages. Amen. He is our hope. Amen. He's the one, amen, that we're anchored to. We have this hope as an anchor of our soul in the midst of a storm-tossed sea, in the midst of the troubles and trials and difficulties of life. Amen. We have this hope that holds us secure, that holds us steadfast, that keeps us, amen, in the midst of all of this. Well, I thought one writer, he gives such a wonderful description of hope. I'd like to share it with you tonight. He said, hope of our multiplicity of blessings, possibly none is greater than hope. It fills our days with happy anticipations, high and noble aspirations. It imparts strength and courage for discharging responsibilities. It makes the untoward things of life bearable. It brightens the mind, quickens the heart, and oftentimes sets the soul aflame. It brings serenity, cheerfulness, and good humor. It helps us bear those ills we have. It lightens burdens. It clears the midst of hazy doubt, permitting us to more clearly see the illuminating light beyond. It is one of the most natural promptings of mind and heart. It makes life worthwhile. It imparts strength to overcome the opposing currents of life. It fosters efforts of good endeavor. It scatters roses along the thorny pathway of life. It is the sunshine piercing the shadow. It is a comforter in days of sorrow. May the star of hope shine on and on. Amen. We've got to have hope. When people lose hope, they give up. They cease trying. They quit making an effort. When men lose hope, we're living in a world that's full of hopelessness, despair. That's why that the suicide rate's at an all-time high. That's why folks are on tranquilizers and nerve pills and uppers and downers. And I mean, we're in a drugged up society because men see nothing worth living for. They have no hope. I mean, the Bible, the scripture describing the world in which we live and the world that you and I, before we were saved, were a part of. He said that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. That pretty well describes the world we're living in, doesn't it? Men with no hope. I read this. I know you can read a lot of things, but I read this. It said there's a man standing on the London Bridge. He's fixing to jump off. He's going to end it all. Well, that policeman saw that man standing on that bridge, and he walked up to him, and he said, "Sir, please." He said, "Before you jump," he said, "just give me 5 minutes. You know, you take 5 minutes and tell me why you want to jump, and then give me 5 minutes and let me tell you why you ought to not jump." Well, he gave him his 5 minutes, you know, told him why he's going to jump. And the policeman, I guess, tried to, went through his little 5 minute spiel. Then the account said they joined hands and both jumped off together. Both jumped off together. Now, I know that's humorous, but it's a sad reality where we're at today. Amen. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." There's going to be troubles. There's going to be problems and difficulties and overwhelming circumstances. But he said, "Be of good cheer." That's one of the cheers of Christ I preached about the other night. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm telling you, I've got a hope tonight. I've got a hope. We've got an adversary. He's the enemy of our hope. He's the prince of darkness. He's a mastermind of despair. I mean, he'd make it look so hopeless. You know, we all have our battles and our struggles. Amen. And we certainly have ours, just like you have yours. And many times that enemy comes in and he makes us feel like it's never been this bad before. What are we going to do? We've never had it this bad. I'm telling you, looks like it's just no way out, no way to overcome this. Oh, it's worse than it's ever been. Well, you know, I'm a lover of John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. Old John Bunyan told about Christian and hopeful on their way to that celestial city. They're fleeing that city of destruction. Well, they got off the narrow path and they ended up being captured by the giant of despair. And the giant of despair took Christian and hopeful back to Doubting Castle. And he ended up casting them into the dungeon of despair. I mean, he locked them in there. Oh, he dangled the keys in their face and let them know, "You're not getting out." Oh, he took them out on one occasion and put a beating on them. Just about beat them to death. On another occasion, he took them and he showed them the other pilgrims that had met their end in that awful dungeon of despair. And again, he let them know, "You're not getting out. You might as well end it all because you're not getting out of this." Christian was about ready to take the advice of that giant of despair. Can I tell you and be honest before God and before this congregation tonight, I've been in that dungeon of despair. I've had that old giant despair dangle those keys in my face and laugh at me, if you will, and tell me, "You're never getting out of this." Even he's pretty convincing. I'll be honest with you. I felt like he was telling me the God's honest truth. There's no way out. I can't see any hope in this hopeless situation. They were there for several days. But thank God, according to John Bunyan, he said about Saturday, Christian's about ready to take the advice of the giant of despair. He's about ready to end it all. but he's got a companion, thank God, called Hopeful. And Hopeful began to encourage Christian. He began to remind him of all the wonderful things that the Lord of that celestial city had done for them along the journey. He began to encourage him. Well, he got so encouraged that according to John Bunyan, along about midnight, they began to pray and sang praises unto God. Well, where in the world do you reckon John Bunyan got such a thought as that? Amen. Where in the world do you think he come up with such an idea as that? At midnight, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. John Bunyan said they prayed till about the breaking of day. And come daybreak, Christian said, I do now remember. I've got in my bosom a key called promise. He said, I'm persuaded that with this key called promise, there's not a lock, amen, on the grounds of Doubting Castle or even in this awful dungeon of despair that this key called promise will not unlock. And he pulled that key out of his bosom. John Bunyan said it had become very rusty. You know, that's the way the promises of God are. They only work for those that exercise faith and put faith in the promise of God. Oh, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Pull the key out of his bosom. Stuck it in the lock in the dungeon of despair, and with some difficulty, amen, he began to try to use that key, and finally it unlocked. And all the other locks on the grounds of Doubting Castle were unlocked with that key called promise. And they made their escape, amen, from Doubting Castle and that awful dungeon of despair. And John Bunyan said the more they used that key, the brighter it become, the shinier it got. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I've got hope tonight. I've got hope in this great God. You know the psalmist, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Well, just as much as the adversary of our soul, he's a prince of darkness. He comes to bring hopelessness, despair, discouragement. Amen. That's the way he works on the children of God. If I was you, I'd just give it up. It's never going to work out for you. I know it works look like for everybody else. Oh, but you, it's not going to work out. Poor old pitiful me. Amen. Nothing ever works out for me. Amen. Nothing ever goes right for us. Amen. How many times has that enemy told you that? How many times has he come, amen, and talked to you and told you, oh, it's never going to get any better. Amen. Probably going to get worse. Nobody cares anyway. And I'm telling you tonight, God cares. I said, God cares. Amen. Let me read to you. Read with me if you would. In the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 15 and verse number 13. I could have took my text right here. Romans 15 and 13. While you're turning there, the Bible reveals the nature and the character of God. The Bible tells us that God is love, doesn't it? That's the nature. That's the very character of this great God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. As Joel sung tonight and Lynn, amen, he's a God of mercy. God is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger, full of compassion. That's the very nature of this God. He's a merciful God. God is holy. I mean, just on and on. Even the Bible describes the nature and the character of God. Well, listen and look at what the Bible says here concerning this great God. Verse 13 of Romans 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power
of the Holy Ghost, the God of hope. I'm glad tonight I'm serving a God of hope. What is it? Amen. We felt moving around here by the sincere child of God. It's been encouraging, amen, to us, amen, to be in the presence of God. You know, I found that's the way God works. Amen. What is it that gives me a brighter outlook on life when I get in the presence of God? Amen. My heart's encouraged. My step is quickened. I feel that fire rekindled. What is that? That's this God of hope. Amen. May the God of hope, isn't that a wonderful verse, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Amen. The Holy Ghost, when He moves, when the Spirit of the living God works in our lives, amen, it just builds our hope. It encourages our hearts, amen, to keep believing, to keep trusting. This describes the very nature of God. He brings hope to the soul. He inspires us to keep hoping. Amen. Keep hoping. In the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our sorrow, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I may be weeping right now. Amen. Maybe in great heaviness through manifold temptations. Amen. But I'm going to come out of this valley. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to come through the wilderness with victory in my soul. Job said, when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What is that? That was a God of hope that inspired Job, amen, to pen those words and speak those words. He had hope. There's another wonderful verse in this 15th chapter of the book of Romans. Verse number 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. This whole Bible is a book of hope. It's a book, amen, of faith and hope in God. I mean, you just take it, amen, from Genesis to Revelation almost. It's to inspire us, amen, written, amen, that we could have hope. Yes, sir. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What about the story of Joseph? I mean, sold into slavery, cast into an awful prison house, lied on by Potiphar's wife for some 13 years of his life. Looks like he's going through the furnace of affliction. Oh, but there came a day when he traded prison garments, amen, for clothes and royalty. He traded prison bars, amen, for a chariot, amen, and a crown. Oh, yes, sir. He traded, amen, his chains, amen, for a place of power in the mightiest kingdom upon the face of the known world at that time. What was that written for? To inspire us, to encourage us, to have hope. Amen. You know, you can't hardly separate in the Bible hope and faith. Hope and faith are Siamese twins. They're inseparable. I mean, even the very definition of faith itself. What is it? Faith is the substance of what things hope for. I mean, that's the very definition of hope itself, or faith itself. It's got hope in it. Even biblical hope is linked inseparably with faith. Faith and hope. Amen. I know many times we hope, and there's a fine line to step across when you step out of hope into faith. Sometimes we just hope until faith takes over. Hallelujah. But hope is so necessary tonight. Yes, sir. I'm hoping in God. The psalmist said, he was saying, that's where my confidence is. Amen. That's the one I'm depending on. That's the one I'm trusting in. I'm hoping in this great God. And we've got a Bible, I say again, these things were written to inspire us. Why do you think he told us, gave us the book of Ruth? I mean, you start out the book of Ruth, you find Naomi going down into the land of Moab. She goes out full. She goes out with her husband, amen, and two fine sons, amen, but she buries a lot of hope down in the land of Moab. She leaves a husband, and she leaves two sons, amen, down in the land of Moab. And she come back, and she said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant, but call me Mara. Call me Bitter, because I went out full, but I've come back empty. Ah, but yet in that wonderful book of Ruth, amen, the story of her daughter-in-law, amen, that became the great-grandmother of the greatest king of the nation of Israel, King David. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got that wonderful story of Ruth to inspire us to have hope in God. Amen. I mean, just on and on. I'm not going to go through the Bible tonight and tell you all of that. But, you know, just it's a book written. These things are written to inspire us to have hope. Why do you think Christ told about that widow woman coming to that unjust judge? She's the very picture of hopelessness, helplessness, weakness. I mean, she's not coming to a judge, Roy Moore. I was a judge down in Alabama, had the Ten Commandments in his courtroom, got in all that trouble, you know. God-fearing man, thank God. We need more of them, don't you know, in this great nation. No, he's not a judge, Roy Moore. He's a hard-hearted, uncaring, unfeeling. He could care less about that little widow woman. She's not a wealthy woman, evidently. She wasn't able, as we say, to hire a Philadelphia lawyer to come plead her case. Amen. But she just kept coming. There's something keeps burning. Amen. There's something that keeps her motivated. She kept hoping against hope. Amen. She wouldn't quit. She wouldn't give up. And we've got to have that. And then we must have hope. Hope is a very necessary ingredient for the child of God, because sometimes when we look at it in the natural, it looks very hopeless. It looks like there's no way out. There's no way it's going to work. But we just keep holding on, and we just keep coming back. And Jesus told that account of that little woman, a very picture of helplessness against all odds. She won the day because she wouldn't give in. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't throw in the towel. She held on to hope in God. Amen. Finally, there came a day the judge said, I've had enough of this. I can't stand it any longer. I could care less about that little widow woman, but I want you to avenge her of her adversary. Amen. But I'm tired of seeing her, amen, in this courtroom. Do something about it. It's amazing where you can get inspiration, but this inspired me. I hope it will you. Said the title of Reverend Wright's sermon that morning was The Audacity of Hope. The painting depicts a harpist, Reverend Wright explained. Now, Reverend Wright he's describing what a friend of his had told him, a minister friend of his, had went into a museum and had saw a painting in this museum, and the caption on the painting was titled Hope. That was the title of the painting. And Reverend Wright is describing this painting. He said the painting depicts a harpist, Reverend Wright explained, a woman who at first glance appears to be sitting atop a great mountain, until you take a closer look and see that the woman is bruised and bloodied, dressed in tattered rags, the harp reduced to a single frayed string. Your eyes then drawn down to the scene below, down to the valley below, where everywhere are the ravages of famine, the drumbeat of war, a world groaning under strife and deprivation. And yet consider once again the painting before us. Hope, like Hannah. He was evidently preaching about Hannah in the scripture. Hannah, that harpist, is looking upwards, a few faint notes floating upwards towards the heavens. She dares to hope. She has the audacity to make music and praise God on the one string she has left. That's hope, brother. That's hope. I mean, in her bloodied, even tattered garments, she's bruised. Even the strife and the hunger and the famine and the drumbeats of war down below, and her little pitiful, one frayed string on her harp, she lifts up her eyes. Amen. And dares, has the audacity to keep hoping and keep praising and keep glorifying God. Ah, what a picture of hope. Hallelujah. What a picture of hope. Yes, sir. I've got hope tonight as an anchor of my soul. It's a refuge. Hallelujah. It's a safe place. I must have hope. It's a necessary ingredient. If I were to lose hope tonight, I'd quit. I'd give up. We'd do drastic things. Men do when they lose hope. God forbid that any of us would lose that hope. God forbid. Not His will. Thank God He's a God of hope tonight. Oh, that blessed me. Amen. That came as a revelation to my heart as I read that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Those positive outlooks. Amen. Those positive feelings. Amen. Those bright anticipations. Amen. Those roses scattered along the thorny pathway. Who is the one that inspires all that? It's God. It's this God of hope. It's this God of hope that wants you and I to keep holding on, to keep trusting, to keep believing against all adversity, against the powers and the forces of darkness and a world of hopelessness. We've got hope tonight. We've got hope tonight. Amen. I probably told this here at one time or another, but as a Baptist preacher was preaching somewhere around Franklin, North Carolina, he's preaching a revival. He said after his sermon that night, said there was an Indian walked up to him. He said, "Preacher," he was preaching about the eagles. He said, "Preacher, you know more about eagles than any white man I've ever met." He said, "But I want to take you and I want to show you what you preached about." He had preached about those eagles going through the molting period. You know, that's just the process of nature that those eagles go through. There's a calcium buildup, builds up on the top part of their beak, two holes in the top part of their beak that they breathe through. That calcium builds up as they go through that molting period. And the feathers break off and they come down to the earth and it's like a period of depression is the way he described it. And said they quit using their ability to fly. They quit utilizing that ability that God's given them. And they come down to the earth, being unaccustomed to walking on the ground. They're normally up above it. Those powerful talons. I mean, those eagles can take those talons and they can crush all the bones in the backside of a man's hand just one move. Just one move. I mean, that's powerful. But those talons break off and they hobble around, left to hobble around on little nubs. And he said, sure enough, the next day, that Indian by the name of Tacoma took him up on the top of that mountain. And he said, there's a mountain around Franklin, North Carolina called Eagle's Bluff. He said, I saw 33 eagles flying off the top of that mountain. He said, I just stood up there. He said, I'd been far and wide and studied eagles mostly in captivity. He said, that's the most eagles I'd ever seen in freedom and flight. He said, I just stood up there and I just had myself a time watching those beautiful eagles, the king of the bird world, flying off the side of that mountain. He said, I was enjoying myself. I said, after a while, Tacoma said, come on, preacher. He said, what I come to show you is not up here, it's down there. He said, we got in that Jeep, drove down the side of that mountain just as far as we could drive, and said, we got out. We began to walk down a little trail. Said, it looked like probably nobody had ever walked down that trail but Tacoma. And said, we walked and walked, and finally we walked up on five little eagles down on the ground. He said, five of the most pitiful, in the most pitiful condition I'd ever seen. He said, it's about like you take a chicken and wring its neck, you know, like they used to do. And said their head was just hung over like a chicken, his neck been wrung. He said they hobbling around on those little nubs, a calcium buildup on their beaks. He said, just pitiful. Feathers broke off. And he said, I just stood there and I cried looking at those eagles. Now, he had a great feeling in his heart for those eagles. You can tell that as you listen to him. He said, I just stood there and cried. But said, after a while, Tacoma said, come on, preacher, let's hide. What are we hiding for? He said, for their sake, I'll show you. And he said, sure enough, we went and we hid in the bushes. And he said, we were talking. He said, after a while, there flew down along about the tree line 8 other eagles. He said, about like an Indian war party. He said, they encircled those other 5 eagles down on the ground. And he said, they began dropping fresh meat right off the bone down to those eagles. Fresh meat. They're meat eaters, you know, dropping that fresh meat. And said, they began screaming down to those other 5 eagles down on the ground. And he said, he asked him, said, preacher, do you notice anything about those 8 other eagles? He said, I sure did, Tacoma. They're all older eagles. He said, that's right. Said, every one of them's been down here at this valley. Every one of them's been down here at the point of death. But said, they've all made it out. They've all made it back to their rock and got rid of everything that hindered them. Even he said, one thing about those eagles, said, if they ever make it out, they'll never end up in this wilderness, down in this valley at the point of death again. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if it was that way for the children of God. Amen. Once we come out of it, we never end up down in that depression, that discouragement anymore. He said after a while they left, said we walked back up, said there was 2 of those little eagles. They were pecking away. They were eating that fresh meat. He said, I was jumping up and down screaming, eat, little eagle, eat. You're going to live. You're going to get back up, amen, to your rock. You're going to climb back out of this valley. He said, but he looked over. He said, those other 3 eagles sitting over there with their head hung down, making no attempt, making no effort to eat that meat. He said, Tacoma, what about these? They're not eating. He said, preacher, this meat's been dropped down to them now for several days. He said, they made no attempt, no effort to eat. He said, come here, let me show you something. He took him and he showed him 27 little mounds. Each one had a stick stuck in it, something tied around it. He said, what is this, Tacoma? He said, this is an eagle graveyard. 27 of them, even used to be the king of the bird world. Used to be up above the storm, up above the rain. Amen. Utilizing the power of the wind, riding on the wings of the wind. Hallelujah. Ah, but he said, now they're just a memory of days gone by. They're just a has-been, a one-time was. How many, amen, that one time rode on the high places of the earth? How many one time sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? But tonight, amen, they're a has-been. Amen, they're a memory of days gone by. They lost their hope. They ceased to try. They ceased to, amen, put forth an effort. He said, the last night of that revival, said, Tacoma, come back. He said, he walked up to him after the service. He said, preacher, I got some bad news for you. He said, what's that, Tacoma? He said, you remember them 3 eagles that wouldn't eat? He said, I sure do. He said, well, they died. I buried them today. I buried them today. He said, there's 30 little mounds down there in that valley now. 30 of them. Amen. He said, you know, he stood there and cried now is what he said. He had a great compassion. Oh, we could have that compassion for lost souls. We could have that burden, amen, for that backslider. Amen, like that preacher had for those eagles. Amen. But he said, preacher, I got some good news too. What's that, Tacoma? He said, the last time I saw one of those eagles, he'd made it back to his rock. He said, the other one was climbing up the side of that mountain, heading back to that rock. Said, if they ever make it back to that rock, they'll grind that beak on that rock, get rid of that calcium buildup. They'll grind those little nubs on that rock till they break open and bleed, get rid of that infection. Amen, those feathers will begin to grow again. I read this. He didn't say this, but I read this. Those eagles will prostrate themselves in the sunshine. They've got another set of lenses that'll come down like a set of sunglasses, and those eagles will stare up into the radiant glow of the heavenly sunshine. Amen. And God so designed it, amen, that their bodies, amen, will go through a healing process with the radiance of the heavenly sunshine. Glory to God. I tell you what, some good advice what I've been feeling around here, Brother Christie. I've been feeling some of the radiant glow of that heavenly sunshine. I've been feeling the presence of God. Amen. That's good for what ails us. Amen. To heal our souls, encourage our hearts, amen. Strengthen our faith, put the fire back in our bosom. Yes, sir. Amen. So they'll get rid of everything. They can just get back to that rock. Everything that hinders them. Oh, when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He said we was riding down the road one day in Franklin, North Carolina, and all of a sudden, Tacoma hit the brakes, put that Jeep in park, said he jumped up and ran down the road a-shouting. He said he come back, got in that Jeep, and sat down. He said, I looked over at him and said, what in the world did you see, Tacoma? I know you seen something. He said, preacher, I just had a vision. He said, I just had a vision of little Talmadget. He said, who in the world is little Talmadget? He said, it's one of them eagles we saw up on that mountain the other day. He said, how in the world we saw 33? How in the world you know which one is Talmadget? He said, I know where his rock is. I know where his rock is. He made it back to that rock. He said, little Talmadget's getting stronger. He's flying some now. Them talons are growing out. He said, I just had a vision. I saw little Talmadget fly down somewhere, catch a rabbit or a squirrel, and fly back up on that rock. He said, them eagles sit up there on that rock. He said, they'll look up into the heavens. And said, a big old, said, you know, healthy eagle's an eagle that can cry. Said, them tears would just puddle up on that rock. Amen. Streaming down that little face, looking up into the heavens. As I was preaching the other night, just doing what God created them, Sister Rose, to do. To be what God wants them to be. That's what I want to be. Don't want to try to be somebody else, but just let me be what God made me to be. Hallelujah. Oh, just sitting up there, eating that fresh meat, them big tears, amen, puddling up on that rock, streaming down that face. He said, I saw little Talmadget get him two big handfuls of that fresh meat, and I saw him fly, even off of that rock, fly back down to that mountain, back down to that valley, rather, even down in that wilderness where those other eagles are at the point of death. And I saw him drop two big handfuls on purpose and let a call go ringing down to those at the point of death. Amen. Come out of that. Get up. Arise and eat. You can make it back. I said you can make it back. You don't have to die in the valley. Amen. You don't have to die in the valley of despair. You can get out of this. Oh, yes, sir. Get out of this. You can make it back. Oh, I'm telling you, I believe the Lord's been trying to drop some handfuls down on purpose. Amen. Oh, it's not all in vain. I know it looks overwhelming at times. Amen. Oh, God's here. Amen. God's been in this meeting this week, in every service. I know he's been moving in different ways. Oh, aren't you glad we're serving a God? Amen. It's not his will. Listen to me. Amen. I'm glad I understand this tonight. And I've been discouraged more times than I like to talk about. And I've come to realize he's not a God of discouragement. There is no discouragement in him. He's a God of hope. He's a God of hope. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What has he been doing? Hey, what's he been doing in this meeting? Thank God. Oh, that enemy said, ah, what good is it? What's going to come out of it? What's your feeble little effort even going to amount to? You shut your mouth, you lying devil. Amen. I'm serving a God of hope tonight. I'm serving a God of victory. There is no defeat in him. Hallelujah. I said there is no defeat in him. Oh, yes, sir. As you stand with us tonight, I appreciate his help once again. And this service, he knows where we're at. Lynn's coming to get us a song. I'm glad I'm serving such a wonderful, loving, merciful, gracious, compassionate, holy, hope-filled God, a God of hope tonight. Amen. God knows where you're at tonight. Let's take a hold of what God's trying to do for us, why don't we? Let's don't let it pass by. Let's don't just sit off over there with our head hung down. Let the enemy talk us out of making any effort. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. As I preached last night, our top priority ought to be the kingdom of God. I'm praying. Lord, save that soul. I remember that old radio preacher used to come on the radio, Oliver B. Green, Sister Rose, and he'd pray when he'd go off the radio. Lord, save that soul that's near as hell. That's my prayer tonight. It's my prayer tonight. I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping. Them boys out there in that far country, thank God hope sees them. Hope looks down the road, says, I see them. I see them getting sick and tired. They might have eaten after the swine. I see them getting sick and tired of living in a hog pen. I see them coming to the self. All of a sudden coming, amen, getting a hold, coming to the right senses and realizing, I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and waiting for me. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. How is it with you tonight? How is it? Are you saved? If you're not saved tonight, he's got a table spread. I feel the presence of the great God of heaven here with us tonight. Oh, are you saved tonight? If you're not, we'd like for you to come. The Lord loves you. He knows where we're at, wherever we're at. Amen. I want to give him my all, my best. Amen. I want serving God, living for God to be my top priority. A lot of folks, it's very evident, a lot of folks have got their priorities out of order. We can see that. It's very evident. Amen. But I don't have to be like that. Amen. Oh, let's come tonight. Why don't we come, everyone that will? Amen. Let me take a hold of what God's dropping down. Amen. Dropping down some handfuls on purpose tonight to encourage, to revive, to strengthen, to bless. Let me get a hold of that that God has got for me.
Still, there is a Given unto us. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we stand here tonight and dismiss, we want to pray for the Phillips family as they travel down the road, and that the Lord would open doors, provide for them, and make a way. Amen. And keep his hand upon them as they travel the highways. Thank God. Amen. We appreciate what the Lord has done this week here in the services. Amen. Every night, amen, the Lord has brought a word to us to challenge us, amen, and to help us to draw nigh to him and realize that we need the Lord greater in this hour and this day as we draw nigh to that last day. There is a last day that's coming. Amen. One of these times we'll turn the lights off for the last time. We'll say our closing prayer for the last time. We'll lock that door for the last time. Amen. But, you know, there's a home prepared for each one of us. Amen. We must press on. Amen. Regardless of what comes our way. Amen. We must be faithful. We must stand our ground against the devil. Amen. So as we stand together tonight as we pray, let's pray for them and pray that the Lord will go with them and bless them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father,